2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today we are talking about, are you still struggling even though you might have received some of those stimulus payments? Apparently a lot of Americans are. So joining me today is Dr. Francesca Ortegren. She's a data scientist with Clever. Welcome to the show, Francesca.
Thanks for having me.
I was going through this report that recently came out, and at least 38% of Americans say they took on more than $3,000 in debt in the last year during the pandemic, which I understand so many of us are still out of work and there's just no way else to buy groceries or pay the bills sometimes. But how bad is it really?
Well, it seems pretty bad. $3,000 doesn't seem like much in the scheme of a whole year, but it does add up. So we talked to Americans and nearly 60% said that they've taken on more debt than they had before the pandemic. So we're seeing a lot of those struggles from joblessness or maybe having to reduce your hours or getting sick and taking time off work. So it is a high percentage of people taking on more debt. And usually, actually, 100% of this is kind of bad debt. It's not mortgage debt, which we consider kind of a good debt to have. So a lot of this debt's coming in the form of things like credit card bills or credit card use. And we know that credit cards are especially bad because they have really high interest rates. So they can hurt you more than they can help you in the long run.
Yeah, I was looking at possibly doing a line of credit recently, and the interest rate on that was like 15%. The thing that is frustrating about that is that interest rates as a whole, I mean, they're sitting at 3.5% if you're trying to get a home loan, or maybe it's up to 4 now, but that they are historically low in the mortgage realm. And yet that is not, we're not seeing that same trend in credit cards or lines of credit.
Right. Yeah. Those interest rates are still really high and don't seem to fluctuate quite as much as mortgage rates do. So if you're in the market for buying a home, it might be a good time for interest rates. But if you're taking out lines of credit or opening new credit cards, you're not really getting a break this year.
I would think if part of the purpose for the stimulus checks, you know, we had under President Trump, we had two different stimulus checks come out and then one under President Biden. And the whole point of those is so that people will go buy things to get the economy moving. But if you have such high interest rates on credit cards, I would think that would slow down people trying to purchase things if they have to pay such high interest.
Right. Yeah. So we didn't ask it particularly for this study, but we have asked people in the past what they used the stimulus checks on or what they planned to use that money for. And a lot of people said that they were going to pay on debt. So taking on additional debt and trying to avoid those high interest rates and late fees in some cases, especially with credit cards, people prioritize paying those down over putting money back into the economy. So while the stimulus checks, I think, are good for Americans and that they can put some money towards those debts, I think that having to accumulate all of this debt isn't helping with the overall economy because that money's not going back directly into commerce.
Right.
It's just going to pay down debts that people have.
Oh, my gosh. And I know there was a huge amount, over 50%, I think, don't even have emergency savings right now. So not only are they out of work, possibly, or at least reduced hours in their work, or maybe had to take a lower paying job. If something else happened to them, a flat tire, maybe a medical emergency, they don't have any emergency savings to pull from.
Right. Yeah. So it was 43%. So really close to half of the people that we asked about this said that they don't have any current emergency savings. So that either means they've already spent it, or they just never had any emergency savings to begin with. And that's kind of a staggering number of people, who, like you're saying, if something does happen, they're put into a situation where they're going to have to find some way to pay for this. And often that comes through credit cards. Which we've kind of already alluded to, that's not always the best option, right, because of the high interest rates, or taking out additional loans in some other way. But if people have to pay for cash in an emergency situation, a lot of people aren't going to be able to do that. And so they're going to have to find other ways to pay for those emergencies, whether that be borrowing from family or friends, or trying to find some really quick loan, like a payday loan, which is another bad option, because they're also high interest. And so you end up paying a lot more back on things like that.
It's just so frustrating, because we also had an article that came out recently that showed the top 1% of people in the U.S., income earners. During the pandemic, while the rest of us have no emergency savings, they're taking on more debt because they have to, not because they want to. But this top 1% in the same time period increased their wealth an average of $15 million.
Yeah, it's a number that I can't even wrap my head around, and most of us can't wrap our head around. So it is unfortunate that disparity that exists. Well, a lot of people many people are struggling. About 61% said that they've lived paycheck to paycheck at some point during the pandemic. While people who don't have to deal with that are actually earning additional money, put in savings or whatever they want.
Yeah, because they're not stimulating the economy. Like you said, a lot of people are just taking this money and paying down debt, which the rich people may not have to. But those rich, along with this article, not only did they make that extra money, they just stuck it in savings. They're not adding to the economy at all. It's up to the people who aren't making enough money to stimulate the economy, but can't.
Right. And that tends to be a trend, even outside of the pandemic, is that people with more money tend to save more of it. So a lot of the times it's really the middle class and people who are struggling who are putting more of their paycheck into the economy, not necessarily more overall money, but definitely a larger percentage, into the economy.
Yeah. Okay. Disparity, disparity, disparity. That's the big word. I'm just going to get all hot and bothered about that.
acceptable. <yeah. laughs>
We do need to take a break. When we come back, let's move on to how can we possibly fix this, and when will we hopefully recover from this downturn that we're in right now. So we'll be right back with Dr. Francesca Ortegren. She's a data scientist at Clever.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way money-wise, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about the struggle you may be going through. Either you don't have any emergency savings, or you've taken on more debt in the last year due to the pandemic. You may have lost your job or had reduced hours. Joining me today is Dr. Francesca Ortegren. She's a data scientist with Clever.
Thanks.
All right. In the last segment, I kind of got hot and bothered under the collar, learning about the disparity of the rich getting richer and the rest of us getting poorer, which we've heard about for years and years. But I mean, that is just striking, the report I had where the top income earners actually increased their wealth $15 million. And yet the rest of us, nothing, and getting worse. That just seemed completely excessive to me. Maybe it's always like that, but that's the first time I've seen that number. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's probably exacerbated by the pandemic and people who tend to earn a little bit less or more impacted by job losses and medical debt and, you know, everything that came along with the pandemic, and people who are a little bit better off weren't as affected. That gap there is just widening, I think, in the last year, and it's becoming more noticeable by all of us.
Okay, so, Doctor, we're asking you, how do we fix it? Please fix us all and the entire U.S. economy. Go.
All right. Well, obviously, it's not an easy fix. This has been a problem for a long time, and we're just, you know, it's just gotten worse. Every time we have a big recession like this, it's really impacting people. Who unfortunately are already struggling. It impacts those people the most usually. And so I think, you know, with people who are struggling to save money, they're struggling to pay the bills, living paycheck to paycheck. Nearly 2/3 of respondents in our survey said that they're currently living paycheck to paycheck, which I think is probably an underestimation really in terms of what is typical. Sometimes we see numbers up closer to 80% of people report living paycheck to paycheck. So it's really a widespread problem that people just don't have extra money to save. And we see that impacts everything from local economies to people being able to purchase homes, to build wealth. And it kind of has long-term effects, not just in people's lives, but it can have generational effects as well. So we definitely want people to be able to save money and build wealth for many reasons, including hopefully getting the economy back on track right now. So a couple of things that people can do are kind of, they sound obvious, but they're harder to do than they sound, is trying to budget. So a lot of the times we're spending more money than we need to be spending or that we think we're spending. So really sitting down and figuring out, you know, how much do I spend on groceries and on television and internet and the, you know, 12 subscription services I have so that I can watch TV. And so those types of things, they seem small, but definitely add up, and really getting a view of what you're spending money on can help people save. And that includes people who are struggling. There are definitely bills that people can pull back on usually. So I think that's a really good place to start, is just where am I spending money and where do I not need to be spending this money, or where can I pull back a little bit, save a little bit of money there?
Yeah, I've always recommended people write down what they're spending. Not to make yourself feel bad, but it's amazing. The first time I did it, I've always been pretty frugal. I assumed I didn't spend more than I made, which for the most part, I didn't. But as soon as I started writing it down and looking at the actual number, I'm like, I really spend that much on X, Y, or Z, and realized I don't have to spend as much money on a couple of those items. And so once I pulled back on that, it really made me feel like, oh, I've got a little bit of play money at the end of the month. Or if you're struggling, you have that extra money to put down toward your debts to pay off some of your credit cards. But a lot of reason why people don't do it is they think they're going to feel worse about themselves. But I think it can actually make you feel better.
Yeah, I agree. And it is a scary, kind of a daunting task to take on, to kind of figure out all of your finances and really what you need to be spending money on versus what you want to be spending money on. It's a psychologically stressful task. And I do agree that it makes you feel better and that you can see where you have the option to pull back. So whether you're struggling right now or not, that's something that an exercise you can be doing just so you have an idea of, you know, if I need to save money because I I am living paycheck to paycheck, I can look at and find out where I can pull back. Or if I, let's say I want to buy a house in 2 years, I can have an idea of what things can go and what things need to stay so that I can get to these financial kind of goals in the future as well.
What else can people do to help their finances right now get back on an even keel?
There are other things we can do that right now can cost money. So this isn't particularly aimed at people who are struggling a lot, but maybe people who have a little bit in savings or aren't living paycheck to paycheck, but need to kind of reassess their finances. And some of this is to do with debt and loans. So people can refinance or reconsolidate loans that they currently have for better interest rates. We mentioned earlier that mortgage rates are at a good rate right now. They're not at their all-time lows that they were last year, but they're still historically low interest rates. So if you have the money to cover a refinance, it's a good time to refinance on your home. And if you have, say, credit card bills, you might be able to consolidate those into a single loan at a lower rate. And so there's things you can do to kind of save money over time, although usually those have origination fees. So you have to have a little bit of money up front to be able to cover that. So that's not necessarily something everyone can do, but it's definitely an option for people who do have the money to cover the origination fees.
If refinancing your house, the lower mortgage payment is significant enough, you might want to roll your origination fees into the new loan if it still keeps that payment below. But the problem is then you're paying 15 or 30 years of interest on a $1,000 origination fee or something like that.
Right.
So, but again, if the goal is, hey, right this second, I'm in a little bit of hurt and I really need to lower my mortgage payments, then it may be the best option for you.
Definitely. And there's definitely a cost benefit there. Even if you're paying interest for the next 30 years on $1,000 or $5,000, that could still save you money in the long run if you're taking, you know, 2 or 3% off of your mortgage payment or off of your mortgage interest rate.
Yeah.
So we usually think about it about 1%. If you can drop your mortgage rates 1%, it's a good time to think about refinancing. If you have to roll your origination fees and those other costs into the mortgage, you'd probably want to look at maybe 1% or 1.5% or 2% or higher. But there's definitely a point where it is beneficial in the long run, even if you do have to pay all that extra interest on those origination fees.
So when do we think people will recover who have had to take on all this extra debt?
Hopefully soon. one of the things that is looking up is that every month we are adding more and more jobs to the economy. So hopefully those people who are still looking for work are going to be able to find a job soon. And hopefully by the end of the year, we get back to kind of the same level of unemployment that we were at pre-pandemic. I think a lot of factors go into that. And some of that is, you know, how effective the vaccines are and how many people are taking those and, you know, kind of slowing the spread, things like that. And so if everything keeps going the way it is, hopefully we enter a state where we're kind of at pre-pandemic joblessness, and if not better, which would be great. So that's looking up. And other things, people seem to think that their finances will recover soon, their own personal finances. So we asked people what their thoughts were about their own finances recovering versus the economy. And there, people tend to be a little bit more optimistic about their own finances. So the majority of people said that they would be back to normal or back to pre-pandemic levels of their own finances by the end of the year. And they had a little bit of a longer expectation for the overall economy. But if your individual finances are recovering, then the economy shouldn't be too far behind that. I would say, you know, if people's predictions are correct, maybe in the next year and a half, we can expect to see the economy back to its pre-pandemic state.
Well, that'll be good. Yes. And as you said, as people are actually able to come back to work because they have the vaccine and businesses start reopening, that might be a good time as well, if you are trying to pay off extra debt you took on, to maybe try to find a second job. The big advice we used to give pre-pandemic was, oh, if you need to pay off something or you want to save a little bit of extra money for a vacation, take on a second job or a part-time job for just a little while to get that extra money. But right now, there aren't the extra jobs out there, but hopefully they'll be there soon.
Right. And I think one good thing, if anything, has come out of the pandemic is a lot of companies are offering more remote positions now. So you'll have more opportunities, I think, to get a job. You're competing with a larger audience, but you might be able to get a job that you can't find in your local area that is either pays better or gives you better flexibility. So there's going to be an interesting shift, I think, in the jobs that do start opening up.
Hey, and West Virginia right now is offering $15,000 to people who want to move there and work.
So, oh, wow. I did not know that. That's
yeah, awesome. They have I think it's actually $12,000, but then they added $3,000 in some other perks or something. So it came to a total of $15,000 that people could have in their pocket, essentially, if you just want to move to West Virginia and get a job there and help their economy.
Yeah, and if you have a house, it's a great time to sell a house. So if you want to sell your home and make the money, move over to West Virginia.
There you go. All right. Anything else we need to know about?
I think we hit the major points. One thing I do want to add is people who have student loans, if they're not paying on those right now, they're at 0% interest until September right now. So if you have extra money laying around and you want to put them towards your student loan, you can pay down quite a bit now. And that's another loan that's a little bit of a hefty interest rate. That kind of hurts people's ability to spend money.
Because if you have a student loan with, let's say, 15% interest and you have $1,000 outstanding, you're accumulating $150 every month. But with 0% interest, if you can just pay a bit off of that by the time the interest rate comes back, your principal will be down to maybe $700 and you won't be paying $150 anymore in interest. So
exactly.
On top of it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Francesca Ortegren. You are a data scientist with Clever, and hopefully people will take heart. What I learned from you is we need to sit down, write out our expenses, see what it is on paper and where we can adjust so we can put money where we actually want it. And if we are in a home, hey, why not refinance it and pay off our student loans at 0% interest right now?
Yeah, I always enjoy being on.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.